Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As there's only a few, only a few home games left before they, hopefully, assuming they don't blow it, play game 163, home game number 82 against the Oakland A's, which I said this to you the other day. It's amazing. It's going to be the fifth straight year a wild card game is in New York City.
Is it 5 years in a row or four?
Hold on, let me do the math.
15, I think it's four.
16, 17, four, correct.
Right.
I'm looking ahead, obviously, to next year's Mets-Reds wild card game.
Oh, yeah, Mets-Reds.
Yeah. I'm going out on a limb, why not?
I see. Harvey against Vargas, right?
Yeah, you never know.
Right.
Joining us right now, one of the broadcasters for the New York Yankees, who will look to win a series against the Minnesota Twins today. And that, of course, is Susan Waldman. Susan, how you been?
Susan, how are you?
I've been great. How are you guys?
Good.
And we're not talking about the Jets, or now we're talking about the Mets wild card for next year.
Well, I'm being sarcastic.
Well, he's being funny. I mean, I just said Vargas is going to pitch the game. I mean, that's hilarious.
I was just laughing that it's crazy to me, and the Yankees are the big part of it because they'd be 3-4, that we are looking at the fourth straight year of a wild card game
in New York City.
That is kind of
Whoa. Really?
What? Yes, really.
Take
I'm
a look at what's going on here. I think we're getting on a plane and going to Oakland.
Okay. Really?
How do you like that?
Wow.
Really?
Well,
the
it's possible.
The Oakland A's are two games in back of the Yankees.
It's really three, though, Susan.
It's really three.
Because they got to pass them. They got to pass them. They can't tie them. They got to pass them.
Have you been watching the Yankees?
I have.
Okay.
But I'll give you my now, first of all, I know what you're doing right now. Can I tell you what you're doing? I know what you're doing.
What am I doing?
You are dreading getting on a plane
so much that
you are using reverse psychology right now.
That's exactly right.
That's what you're doing,
okay.
Susan.
I want you to tell me how to pack for Tampa, Boston, and Oakland in the same suitcase.
Wow.
It's not going to be easy.
That is an interesting yeah. And you can always, like, buy them as you get there, you know? You could do that.
No.
You know why I'm confident that you're going to stay in the Bronx? I'll tell you why. First of all, I know that the Yankees are not playing their best baseball. I understand that. They've got a lot of home games left. They got that homestand coming up with the Blue Jays. The Red Sox, what are they playing for now? They basically won the division. You got more games with the Orioles. And you know what? I know the A's have been great since June. I get it. I respect it. 2 out of 5 days, Susan, they're doing this bullpen thing. I don't trust Edwin Jackson. I don't trust Trevor Cahill. I'm having a tough time wrapping my head around the Oakland Athletics. And I just feel they'll lose enough games for the Yankees to at least hold on for dear life and get that wild card spot number one. So I'm confident for you.
Oh, okay. I'll go the other side here because I don't know what to pack here. The Oakland A's play nobody for the rest of the year. The Yankees have 6 games left with the Red Sox, and they also have 4 games in Tampa where they haven't played well since they were all children. So that's the thing that's looking at me. And you know what, Evan? You're looking at the way the team is playing. They are 7-8 in their last 15 games, and they have played very mediocre baseball since the All-Star break. They're just a few games over 500 since the All-Star break. And I just don't see Aaron Boone finally addressed it last night. I don't see that killer instinct. This is a terrible Minnesota team. Terrible. And there is no reason that they should be teeing off on anyone in that bullpen. Never mind any of the good guys. But this is a tough way they're playing right now. And how long can you hear people say, well, we have to play better. We have to play better. And we'll get better and we'll get better. It's September 12th. And I think the time to play with a little urgency might be right now and not waiting for Aaron Judge to come back whenever that is.
No, I think that's all fair. Just one last thing at you and then we'll just, you know, we'll call it off. We will agree to disagree.
Okay.
The Oakland A's, oddly enough, I can't explain this. They play the Angels and the Mariners in their division. It's the only division games they have left. They have losing records against both teams. They have not played well against the Angels and the Mariners. So I'll just leave that there to the side.
And that's the tiebreaker they have that the Yankees have as the advantage because they have played much better in the division than the A's have in theirs.
Right. So. Okay. All right, so I won't pack for Oakland.
There you go. I've convinced you. But with that said, how do you explain the lack of that killer instinct you've talked about? Because they haven't played great baseball for a while. There's no denying that. I'm not going to, you know, act like the Yankees are playing out of their minds. They haven't.
Right.
How do you kind of explain it?
I don't know, because if they knew what it was, they'd do something about it. And I don't mean to be a downer here. It really is. I mean, this is a very good team. There's a sense of urgency that I even asked Aaron Boone about it the other day, and he said, no, they've got it. Don't mistake, you know, throwing helmets and things. And I don't think I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the instinct that when you bring in a reliever from the other team who hasn't gotten anybody out three times and he goes 1-2-3 in that inning, that's not a killer instinct to me. There's a sense of urgency that isn't there, and I'm looking for someone besides Brett Gardner and Didi Gregorius to actually have it. And don't get me wrong, this is a good team, but something isn't there. I can't put my finger on it, and if they could, they wouldn't be playing like this. And that's just the way I feel about, you know, Seattle losing games. Taking series are fine, but taking series against bad teams is not enough. You know what I'm saying? It's not enough. And if you're going to go deep in the off season, then you have to have that. And you look at the team that's in front of them. And I don't want to compare everything to the Red Sox, because quite frankly, they've got their problems too. You know, I don't know about Chris Sale. I don't know about in between Chris Sale, David Price, and getting to Kimbrel. They have not been good. But they do have that instinct. It's almost every time we look at the scoreboard, I turned to John last night and I said, oh, it's the seventh inning. They decided they'd better score a couple of runs. And it's almost like they do that, and it's a different person every single night. And they can be beaten, because they have some flaws, but you have to get there. You have to be playing at your best when you go into October, not playing 7-8 baseball against bad teams.
Susan, talking to Susan Waldman. Gary Sanchez, obviously he's had injury issues this year, I get that. But what? Forget the stuff behind the plate. The guy's hitting like 180-something. I mean, what has been the issue with Sanchez?
Well, I think, and he has gotten off to it since he hit that home run, he has looked a lot better at the plate. It's a terrible year for him. To me, what I think about Sanchez is that everything is tied up together. Jorge Posada, for example, was not, you know, Johnny Bench behind the plate, but Jorge could separate offense and defense. Gary, he takes it very seriously, and I don't think he's been able to do that. He seems to be better now, and it's a good thing, because it is the time that he should do that. And he has had his problems behind the plate, but not lately except for Severino. I mean, he caught Hap perfectly. He caught Tanaka perfectly. And Tanaka, by the way, is harder to catch than is Severino, because when the splitter hits, you don't know which way it's going. You can pretty much tell when you look at some of the other pitchers, but not Tanaka. So Gary has not been as bad behind the plate as everybody thinks, particularly lately. He had that one bad game with Severino, but he needs to learn, to my account, learn to separate offense and defense. He hasn't quite done that yet, but getting better at it.
Right now, Joe and I both agree, if the decision has to be made, and I can't see this changing, at least my opinion changing on it, that I'm starting Tanaka. He's the guy pitching the wild card game. Where do you stand right now and who they should hand the baseball to?
I'm pitching Jay Happ, because Jay Happ has been the best pitcher on this team. And he's the one that everybody has confidence in. But I think they'll probably go with Tanaka. They'll see. I mean, it's lined up for Severino to do it. But with 3 days, whenever I think the wild card is Wednesday. So
Wednesday,
their last
October
game,
3rd, yep.
Yeah, so their last game would be Sunday, so they could have anybody do it. My guess is they'd either Severino or Tanaka to them. I would start Jay Happ.
Jay Happ's been very good as a Yankee, no question about it. And so I'm not ripping him when I say this. I think Tanaka, the reason I go Tanaka is he can dominate. We have seen him dominate. Happ doesn't dominate, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But
he also has gotten hit. Now Tanaka seems to be rounding into shape at the right time. He's done this every single year, and
yep.
he can be dominant. I think they're going to look at a lot of things. They're going to look at where it is. They're going to look at who the team is,
sure.
And if it's Oakland in New York or Oakland in Oakland, maybe it's different. There's just something about Happ that to me has been. you know, when you go out there, except for the one little blip that he had for like one inning where he couldn't find the strike zone, he hasn't lost yet. But there's something about him. This is a guy who pitched in a World Series. He knows what he's doing. And I think there's a confidence on this team when he's out there. I see it reflected in the players out there. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Tanaka, but if I had to make a choice right now, I'd start J-Hap.
Susan, the kid Voit, what's your thoughts on him? Is he just a blip on the screen? I mean, what about him?
I don't think you can tell, Joe. I really don't know. I mean, is he Shane Spencer? Is he Shelly Duncan?
Or is he going
to be somebody that's good? Right now, you ride the hot hand. I will tell you about him. And I mention those two people not because of the home runs. There's a joy that he has that you really like watching. He has been told in the St. Louis organization, they didn't think he could hit. They really didn't. I've talked to scouts in that organization, and they said, yeah, he's all right. He comes up and he never hits. And I don't know what it is here. Sometimes when you get traded, you get shocked into things, because I know a lot of people that first time they get traded say, oh, my goodness, I was a high draft pick. I'm good. Why don't they like me? And they traded him for Chasen Shreve. So that's not exactly, you know, Justin Verlander coming back to them. So I just think he's making the most of a situation. He has said that he needed to grow up. He was a guy who smashed helmets and got mad, and he had to learn to do that. Right now they're riding a hot hand. He looks like he has a clue out there. Whether he turns out to be the real thing, who knows? But right now he's going to play as much as he can. The only reason Bird played the other night was because it was a little strain in Voit's back.
Right.
But he's going to play a lot. You have to do that right now.
That's the best part about Luke Voit. He has made Yankee fans for now forget about Greg Bird, because he's been a disaster. And the emergence of Voit has made it easy. Of course he's got to play every day. He's their best option. But Bird has been a disaster this year. And I don't know what you do with him at the end of the year. I mean,
I don't know what you do with him unless he's hurt and not telling anybody, because that's what's happened before. But you have to stay on the field, and he doesn't look like the same hitter to me. And whether it's the ankle surgery or whatever it was, he doesn't look like the same. And the thing is, guys, he also hasn't been playing a great first base. And he's a really good first baseman.
I
think he has put it all together. Right now you go with Voit, and that's it, and you figure it out during the offseason.
Mm.
But I don't even know if this guy going to make the postseason roster?
At this point, no. No. What would I – for what reason? I don't even want to use him off the bench. He can't hit. So what am I using him for?
There isn't any reason, because right now, if Voit starts, Neil Walker is a better first baseman than is Greg Bird.
Yeah, he's a better hitter than Greg Bird. He's better at everything than Greg Bird, which is I can't believe I'm saying that, because I think there was a lot of hope that Bird, if ever healthy, would become this star, and it just, for whatever reason, hasn't happened.
Not this year, it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
It sure hasn't.
So Susan, at the end, whenever this is the final, you know, moments come in, I don't know how else to say it, Who do you like better? I'll put it this way. Who do you like better, Andujar or Torres?
Oh, boy. I have to make a decision. I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, I don't know what these guys – 10 years from now, I don't know. Maybe we'll have a very concrete answer. Right now, there isn't one, but I saw him asking.
Well, there isn't one. If I could only take one of the two, I would take Andujar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just think there's something really special about him. And there's something special about Torres, too. They're very different players. I think they're very different players. I think that after a winter of work that Andujar does at third base, which he is going to do, I think he's getting better. I think he can be an okay third baseman. I think there's something very special about his bat, the way he can adjust within a count, the way he can adjust from inning to inning. He's really something. I think he's a really special, special hitter. But who knows? I mean, I also think that Gleyber Torres has a chance to be Robbie Alomar out there.
Right.
But he's only 22, so can I have both of them?
Well, you have both of them.
Oh, yeah. But as far as rookie of the year, I would take Andujar as rookie of the year, mainly because, never mind the numbers.
Right.
Miguel Andujar doesn't go into long slumps.
Yes.
He really doesn't. He'll have a couple of days where he looks like he's lost, and then all of a sudden, boom, boom, and he's adjusted back again.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's funny, because if you compare the numbers, and that's what a lot of the voters are going to do, they're very similar. I mean, they're strikingly similar, but watching the Yankees every single day, to me, it's not as close as the numbers indicate. To me, it's Andujar. But I'll tell you
this. Well, because numbers don't take into account when they hit the home run.
Exactly.
Or when they hit the double.
I'll tell you who's not the rookie of the year. Shohei Ohtani is not the rookie of the year.
No.
He's not. I'm sorry. No offense. He's not. I got to hear
Do you
that.
Know that I never even thought about that until we were out on the West Coast and everyone was talking about it?
Well, because you know what it is,
It never entered my mind. And then we got to Oakland and everybody is talking about the young reliever, Trevino.
Yeah, well, he's been great. But I don't know how you compare a reliever who's been remarkable to an everyday player who's got 23 home runs. How do you compare the two?
And 40 doubles.
Yeah,
you can't.
No,
you can't.
It's impossible.
You can't. They told me it was an East Coast bias that we have here.
If anything, it's just a position player bias because it's a relief pitcher. It's very difficult to take reliever and position player and say, okay, compare them. Who's better? They do completely different things. How the hell are you supposed to compare them?
Yep.
You can't. And to me, Andujar, for the reason that we said, never mind the numbers, it's when he does it.
Yes.
And that to me is very, very important. Hey, Joe.
Yes.
How happy were you Sunday?
Monday night.
Susan, well, I can't.
Susan, I'm very happy. I was euphoric watching this game. But again, I look, after 53 years of rooting for this team, okay, and of course this is the 50th anniversary of the one moment that this franchise has had, I'm very caught. The quarterback, the kid looked great. I mean, there's no other way to say it. You know, he did. But what do I know? I don't know. It's one game. I mean,
but can't you enjoy that one?
Oh, I loved it. No, I loved it, Susan. But now go out there and beat the Dolphins on Sunday. Don't go out there and be flat as a pancake and lose at home to Miami. You know, that's
okay. What if they play really well and lose to Miami?
Well, you know what? Going into this year. Okay, my feeling this year was it's all about the development of his quarterback. To me, that's what it's all about. I mean, I don't expect them to win more than six games. That's what, coming into the year, I didn't expect them to win Monday night. But, I mean, they did, and I don't know how good Detroit is either. Let's not, the Lions didn't look like they quit in the middle of the third quarter. But, Matt Patricia, there might be some issues there. But, my expectation level is really nothing for this season. My expectation level is the development of Sam Darnold and, hopefully one day, and I'm still walking the earth, Susan, and Sam Darnold is holding the Lombardi trophy. You know what I mean?
Okay, so I want everybody to record this conversation. And the first loss, I don't want to hear you saying, I can't stand it anymore. I've watched this for 60 years. I can't take it anymore. I want you to remember that it's about the development of the quarterback.
It really is. It really is. Now, that doesn't mean I won't kill them if they have a terrible loss, and I won't get all over the head coach, who I don't think is very good. Okay, I've been saying that for, ever since they blew that playoff game that should have been a playoff team to Buffalo back in 2015. But, so there's a lot of things at work here. But really, at the end of the day, it really is about Sam Darnold to me, and that he's going to be finally the franchise quarterback I've been waiting for, 50 years.
Well, we just want you happy.
Wow.
That's all.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Susan.
We look forward to the broadcast rivalry
this?
Day next week.
So you're going to be with Castiglione in the booth? Is that the deal?
I am indeed. I am indeed. I think this is going to be so much. We've done this before, not on FAM, but we have done this before.
Oh, really?
You know, and Castiglione, last time I was the one who was on in Boston radio, and John stayed in New York. And this is not simulcast. This is, so John will be doing play-by-play for people in Boston with Tim Nemering, and I will be doing what I do, whatever it is, with Joe Castiglione. And when I was on in Boston, because he always kids me about being on from Boston and how did a Red Sox fan growing up turn out to be one of the voices of the Yankees, so I can turn around and say, how did a 7-year-old kid from New Haven who had a Yankee shirt on grow up to be the voice of the Boston Red Sox for all these years?
Right.
So that's the kind of thing. It's funny. It's actually funny because he grew up in Connecticut, was a Yankee fan growing up.
I didn't
and
know that.
And it's been the voice. Yeah, you didn't know that.
No.
Well,
yeah, wow.
It's so quiet. They love to broadcast that I grew up Boston.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Now, is John going to...
No, this is going to be fun.
Is John going to make...
I've known him before I even got this job. I've known him forever.
Will John make Red Sox
home
calls
run calls
if there's a home run by Mookie Betts? Like, bet on Mookie.
Ben is
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, he's got to do that,
doesn't he?
Got
to, right?
I'll have to ask him.
I'll have to ask him.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
Here's what you do.
He could do like when Benintendi hits, when he could do like he does for Giancarlo, that kind of thing.
I wonder if he's got one for JD, who hits home runs.
Oh, JD Martinez, right? Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm going to have to ask him. That'll give us something to talk about in the booth.
All right. We're going to be listening to find out. That's a very important question. We all want to know. Susan, we appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Susan Wallman on the Yankees.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.